Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFURL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Moscow-based journalist Matthew Luxmoore. When Matthew's the guest, it's usually a good chance to gauge the mood in Moscow and Russia, and I'd like to do that today, kind of get an update on what's happening ahead of the elections of the State Duma, which is Russia's lower parliament house and a key lever of power for President Vladimir Putin, as well as local votes that are also happening around Russia on September 19th, Sunday. Actually, September 19th is considered election day, but in fact, voting will take place over 3 days, starting on Friday, September 17th. This is a new thing in Russia, one of the many results of the constitutional changes that Putin pushed through in 2020. Matthew, I doubt that many people in Russia are kind of living and breathing the elections at this point. But can you give us an idea of the mood ahead of the voting?
Sure. I mean, I certainly haven't noticed any hint of what you might call pre-election fever. Certainly not of the kind that you might see in the United States ahead of the midterm elections, for instance. State media in Russia are far more focused on events in neighboring Ukraine, on the fallout from the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, and other major international stories. So there is some election coverage. But there's a broad sense, I think, that these elections, as has increasingly been the case during Putin's 21 years at Russia's helm, will not spring any major surprises. Beyond that, Russian voters are widely, I think, fair to say, skeptical of elections. They've been barraged by evidence of falsifications and the widespread instances of opposition candidates being excluded from the ballot, which seems to be a kind of more common tactic than trying to openly rig the elections, as we saw in neighboring Belarus, for instance. But this year, that purge of the electoral field has even affected parties that are approved by the Kremlin, those that contest elections, but are not seen as posing any serious threat to United Russia, the ruling party. And that's really an indicator, I think, of the scale of this year's crackdown on the opposition, which has happened amid plunging approval ratings for United Russia. Russians, and certainly Muscovites, are not ignorant of that crackdown. And I think it's certainly kind of fueled the sense that the Kremlin has the election sewn up. It's hard to get excited about a vote that has a largely predictable outcome, even if some opposition candidates may slip through on a local level in parts of the country and to a degree that won't fundamentally shake things up on a kind of a national level. But on the street level in Moscow and in Krasnodar and other cities, other than occasional party volunteers handing out leaflets, small notice boards have sprung up throughout Moscow in the past couple of weeks, advertising the upcoming votes. United Russia has stuck its own promotional materials to many of these boards, as have other mainstream parties. But, as a little anecdote, just a few days ago, I noticed a surprising addition to the notice board near my apartment, close to the city center. And it's a post about the smart voting system devised by the jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny, which is kind of an ingenious tactic to elevate opposition candidates that have been banned by the authorities. The smart voting system has been banned by the authorities, along with Navalny's whole political movement. And I guess that, it's kind of a clear sign of the times that within a day of that poster appearing, it was gone.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the fact that the media or the state media are paying more attention to things like the United States, Ukraine, Afghanistan, than the upcoming elections. I mean, is there a sense that this is an attempt to kind of actually suppress voter turnout, with the thinking possibly being in the Kremlin that we can get kind of captive captive groups like state employees, soldiers, service people to vote, but we don't necessarily need the people whose votes we don't know what the outcome will be. So, I mean, do you think that's a factor in kind of the what you, sounds like you're saying is a kind of muted media coverage of the elections?
Sure, I'm not sure how much we can extrapolate from the state TV coverage. I mean, state TV has always focused quite a lot of its time on international stories. But I would definitely agree with you that there is kind of a push, and we've seen evidence that the state is interested in having specific Russians voting in the election, and perhaps not trying to encourage those that whose vote may be unpredictable to vote. So, for instance, Russia has really accelerated its campaign to hand out passports to residents of the breakaway pro-Russian unrecognized republics in eastern Ukraine, who are expected to overwhelmingly vote for United Russia, or at least parties that weren't to pose any threat to the Kremlin. So I would broadly agree with you. I'm just not sure. I think this state media coverage is broadly in line with what we usually see.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, a short time ago, you actually were down in Krasnodar in southern Russia, Matthew, reporting a story about an unusual candidate in these elections. Tell us a bit about that, please, and I guess what it says about the elections as a whole.
Sure. I flew down to Krasnodar to cover the campaign of Andrei Pivovarov, who is a staunch Kremlin critic for a long time. And he's been languishing in the city jail since late May, when he was pulled off a flight departing for Warsaw from his native St. Petersburg. Now, Pivovarov was the head of Open Russia, an opposition group funded by the exiled tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky, and outlawed in Russia. And so Pivovarov was charged with ties to the banned group, and he now faces years in jail if he's convicted. But quite amazingly, even as dozens of opposition politicians across the country were being excluded from the ballot under various pretexts, the authorities actually registered Pivovarov as a bona fide candidate. The problem is that his status as a prisoner and United Russia's dominance of the political field in Krasnodar, as well as the various tactics that have been used to sideline opposition, genuine opposition candidates, and also those from the so-called systemic parties that we talked about earlier. All of this kind of makes his victory an almost impossible prospect. And I thought this was an interesting story, an interesting angle on the election, because the plight of Pivovarov and his team's commitment to continue campaigning despite these vanishingly small odds of success demonstrate a key calculation that the opposition has made ahead of this vote. Pivovarov is on the list of Yabloko, which is a party that has never won more than 2% of the vote in Krasnodar. And his team says it would need around 35% for him to become a lawmaker. Now, his team has no illusions about his almost certain defeat. Instead, what they're actually doing is they're using this election campaign as a platform to spotlight what they call government repression and the status of so-called political prisoners, including in their mind Pivovarov. And those are issues that many voters who receive their news primarily from state TV may never have been prompted to reflect on. Pivovarov's campaign manager in Krasnodar, Milia Kashapova, she actually summed up this approach in conversation with me in quite a kind of pithy way. She said, "You have to use elections as your platform, even if they aren't fair. Otherwise, what's the point of engaging in politics in Russia?"
Right. And I guess, I mean, that's been kind of a debate among Kremlin opponents, for years now is, do you take part in elections that are not free or fair or democratic, or do you boycott them? And that's been, that's been a debate. And I guess, Navalny certainly, with his smart voting initiative and in fact, his attempt to run for president in 2018, he's obviously come down on the side of, let's participate. That's a very interesting kind of snapshot of one of the races that does say a lot about these elections. So thanks very much, Matthew.
Sure.
And I guess we're running out of time now, so let's stop there, and I'll just thank you again for joining me.
Sure. Thank you very much, Steve. Always a pleasure.
All right, great to have you. I'll be back next Monday for another Week Ahead in Russia, already after the elections. Meanwhile, please watch for my Week in Russia newsletter this Friday. Thanks for listening.